So can you still whip the guitar around your neck like you did back in the day?
Flip the guitar around?
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I do other things too. I throw the guitar up high in the air, I play my teeth, I kick on it, you know, whatever. Play with my butt. You know, whatever comes to mind. I'm as crazy, if not crazier than ever, actually, isn't it, right now? I cannot remember in all the years I've been doing this any more busy time for me. This particular time in my career, right now, as we speak, is the most, it's been more things happening and things being going on at the same time. It's like unbelievable. I mean, in between all these interviews and, yeah, just the other day I flew up to New York just for the day. 5 a.m, I flew to do the VH1 thing, then I flew back at night, and I would do interviews in the morning, rehearsals at night, you know. So, I mean, all the touring and the new record, and it's just amazing. Amount of things going on at the same time, which is really exciting, of course, but it's hard to.
And I should point out that we're doing this interview at 9:30 in the morning, which for me is not exactly rock and roll hours. What do you?
I actually get up really early in the morning. I love it. I love the mornings. I get up like 7:30.
Oh my god!
Every day.
That's not
and,
rock.
If I have the time, I usually play tennis, and you know, and I go out and drive cars and enjoy the weather, and you know, I'm just really much into that stuff. I mean, you know,
but you're a rock star. You should sleep till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Not anymore. those days are gone.
We have some reader questions. A reader who goes by the name Rising Force 84 asks,
okay,
if there's any chance of you re-recording your Rising Force debut.
You know, it's actually been discussed. Yeah. It has been discussed. It's a funny question from someone to have, but it actually has been discussed. Yeah, to do a re-recording of the whole thing. Yeah.
A reader by the name of The Dude 5 asks, "Do you find your music to be erotic? My wife and I have enjoyed many erotic and sensual moments listening to your CDs. Have you had the same experience, either playing or listening to your music? And if not, whose music do you find erotic?"
That's really funny question, and the answer to that is no. To me, it's I cannot use music as a backdrop. It can't be something that is just you know, there and so forth and so on. So to me, like, even if there's some music on TV or in the radio or whatever in a car, I analyze it. I listen, oh, that chord progression, it should be, you know, it's an E flat in the bass there, and the snare drum sounds a little, it should be a little more compressed, you know. So, you know, that would mix well with the love making, so to speak, you know. So for me, that's not the thing. But good luck with that. That's good.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, right? Whatever it takes, you know.
A reader who calls himself Guitar Nation says, "Your guitar tone has changed over the years. Many of your fans miss your old, less distorted guitar tone. Is there a reason you decided to change your guitar sound, and why did you decide to change it?"
Listen to this, and here's how amazing it is when I do these interviews, the things I hear. Yesterday I got the question, "When did you decide to make your sound less distorted?" In other words, that person had the impression of my sound actually being less distorted now than it used to be before.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And this is the same as I get sometimes questions like, "Oh, this is much heavier than before. This is less classical, or this is more classical, or this is more this, that's more that." And you know, everybody has a one or another impression, which is fine. You know, it's interesting. I never changed any of my sound by on purpose. It from the days, I think 97 or something, no, 95, I've been recording in the same room. Mm-hmm. But in the earlier days, I used to record in studios that were, you know, different every time, and so that's where the sound always would be a little different. The setup was always the same.
A reader who calls himself Ingvi says, "Now that you have Ripper in your lineup, any chance of you covering a Judas Priest song in concert, like Freewheel Burning?"
We haven't thought about that yet, but the thing is that there's no songs even being decided on the set yet. So who knows?
A reader who goes by the name of Boomtown asks, "Do you ever want to go on stage in just your street clothes?"
I do.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's see here. A reader by the name of Godfrey wants to know if you would ever consider making an album with David Coverdale.
I never, you know, thought about that per se, but no, I he's amazing. He's I love his voice, for sure. You know, he's one of my favorites of all time, you know. I'm an old Purple fan, you know, as everybody knows. Burn and Stormbringer is one, well, in particular Burn, it's just amazing album, you know.
A reader by the name of Whammy Man wants to know, is there anything you would give it all up for? And I guess by that he means music or guitar playing.
I don't know. The thing is, it's funny, you know, because when I first came to the States, I would always get some questions from people. Like, hey, dude, I bet you started playing to get laid, right? And stuff like that. And it always used to strike me as very odd because I had, but then again, I'm a little bit strange that way. You know, I played with a conviction and a passion and some sort of determination that I don't even quite know what it is myself. And when I started, I got my first guitar when I was 5 years old. And it was just like, I knew so early on, I knew when I was just a little, I knew why, my purpose in life. I knew what I was supposed to do. And there was never any doubt about it. There was never any sort of, oh, maybe this, maybe that, no. So it would be difficult for me to even answer that question, actually.
A reader named Paul Hurley says he loves it when you slow down and play pure blues. Would you ever consider releasing a blues rock album, say, in the style of Gary Moore?
Probably not. The thing is that when I get often questions like, oh, do you want to do an whole instrumental album? Do you want to now do an album when you sing all the songs? Do you want to do a blues album? Do you want to do an acoustic album? And the answer to all of the questions are no. In other words, by saying that, I put out the music that I really love. I put out the music that I really want to do. I don't have anybody tell me you have to do this or have to do that. And if I did want to do something, I would do it. You know, like, for instance, the symphony orchestra, which what I always want to do, you know. I love the blues, I really do, but I think the blues can only be played one song. Because once you play the second one, you're playing the same song again. And that's where I find the limitation in the blues, you know. I mean, I love to bust it out, and because the blues is, you know, very much my background, you know. That's why I started playing, you know. And so I do love it, you know, but I couldn't imagine doing 12 songs with blues, no. Or all acoustic or all instrumental or all me singing all the songs, for instance, you know. I like to be able to stretch out more, you know.
The Dude 5, who asked a question before, asked another question. Is there any hip-hop music that you admire? I would find it very interesting to hear your comments on the genre. Have you ever thought of collaborating with any hip-hop artists and unleashing your fury?
In all honesty, the answer for that would be a definite no. To quote Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, he said, melody is music. Music is melody. If it's not melodic, it's not music. In other words, I would say hip-hop and rap is an expression of lyrics, and they forgot the music, forgot the lyrics. You know, the melody, I mean. And to me, that is what it's all about. You know, when I play very heavy stuff, it's still melodic. So I keep it that way, and that's what I want it. So, no thanks.
A reader by the name of Gibson wants to know, what's up with you and the dragons? In that video, I'll See the Light Tonight, you battle a dragon with your guitar.
Yeah, that's a funny... what happened was that somebody had the idea of shooting the video at Universal Studios at the set of Conan O'Brien. No, not Conan O'Brien, Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, yes.
They had a set like where they do that show there. And so in the middle of the night, we would have that set. And there was a dragon that was blowing away fire and stuff like that. Oh, that was cool. And you know, I thought it was pretty cool for the time. In fact, I threw the guitar up in the air, and the guitar fell down the hole and right, and it crushed the dragon's head. You know, which was not a very popular thing. But that was my idea actually. I still thought it was pretty cool.
A reader named Jack Krim says, "Yngwie, I love your playing. You're obviously a Strat master, but why, oh why, do you never play a Les Paul?"
Les Pauls are beautiful guitars. I have a few of them, actually. I have some really nice Les Pauls. I have also ESD-35s, SGs, Flying Vs, a lot of Flying Vs. I got a couple of SGs. I don't know, maybe I said already. I started playing guitar when I was very, very. I wasn't even a teenager. I was just a little boy, little baby, you know. And the first electric guitar I ever had was like a Strat copy. And so I grew up, my body actually grew up holding this instrument. And that's the main reason. Plus, of course, I love the way they sound. I love the way they look. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's the ultimate, you know, that's the Stradivarius, you know, of the guitar. How, having said that, I really like Gibsons too. I think they're beautiful. And I did use it for some rhythm tracks on some of the albums about 15 years ago. I did a couple of rhythm tracks with it. At a gold top Les Paul on that, and it's, you know, it's just to me they feel that it's, you know, it's just a thing where your body adapts to something, you know, and that's it.
When you first came over to the States, you developed a bit of a reputation. You were quite boastful in the press, which created a bit of a backlash against you. Do you regret those days? Do you wish that you would have handled it a little differently at the time?
I probably would have, you know, but the thing is, I was just a kid, and I didn't, I was a kid from a different culture also, where I grew up. It wasn't a thing to be humble or nothing. I grew up on the street, you know, type of thing. And so it was a little bit, I mean, of course it was bad, you know, but it's such a long time as well. I mean, we're talking almost 26 years. You know.
Well, Yngwie, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Thank you.
This is Joe Basso for Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Yngwie Malmsteen, Yngwie J. Malmsteen, Rising Force. Are there any other names?
Yngwie J. Malmsteen, so don't confuse it with all the other Yngwie Malmsteens, you know?
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right, you take care.